Brady Blade is one of our region's best-known musicians and the founder of state-of-the-art Blade Studios in Shreveport. He continues to perform and innovate. I'm Randy Brewer, and tonight we will be speaking with Brady Blade. We'll find out about his latest projects both at Blade Studios and as a performing artist. He'll also take us along for a journey through his musical interests from the sublime to the extreme. Brady Blade, welcome back to Red River Radio.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, we're glad to talk to you again. So, since we last spoke, I understand you've been pretty busy. What's going on?
My goodness. Let's see. I can safely say that Blade Studios, being open 2 years, has done great. We've been very fortunate. The CBS show that's in Studio B got renewed for another year. In a network TV land, you never know.
What time is the Tim Brando show on?
And that airs from 8 until 11 on CBS Sports Network, daily Monday through Friday, and simulcast on Sirius XM, and it's also on the web as well, so you can just look that up, Tim Brando show. He's doing great, his team is good, and we're happy to have him here. We've also actually Mid-City Records, and we're located in Mid-City, and it's part of Shreveport, and our first artist is the Brian Blade Fellowship. And we just did a deal with Blue Note Universal for the world. It's very exciting for us to have an artist such as Brian to be on our label. It's a credibility factor for us, first of all. Secondly, it's the first time he's recorded an album in Shreveport. He's done all of them in like New York or Los Angeles and, you know, all these other cities.
So this is brother Brian Blade.
My middle brother Brian. He's
so there's big news in the Blade family about Brian.
Big news. And he just moved back to Shreveport from Portland. He's been gone since he left here at 17, basically. So for him to move back to Shreveport, first of all, our parents are about to jump over the moon with happiness. And I never thought he'd actually move back home. And it's the testament about kind of what's going on in our city, this movement of people actually coming back, younger people staying. It's just this synergy that I enjoy.
So how are you able to get Brian back?
Well, his wife wanted to really kind of, I think, move back. He's been in Portland, which is a great city, Portland, Oregon. Subculture is great there, and you know, he likes that kind of moody northwestern weather, a little bit of rain, and, you know.
Right.
So, and the coolness in the summertime. So I think it was just feeling it was time to kind of reel it in and probably just like me, I moved back here really to spend time with my parents in the twilight years of their life, firstly, and then secondly, to try to make a difference in my community. So I think his intentions are along those same lines.
Yeah, we certainly appreciate what you're doing for the community. Tell us a little bit about the reaching out you've done for the community, some charity fundraisers and things along those lines.
We try to stay active with the youth, everything from basic, you know, simple things like drum lessons with the young students to we're forming a school of fine arts that's going to benefit our whole region. Been working on that tirelessly with my team, with some unbelievable team of people. So we've been engaging, partnering up with Moonbot, CRM Studios, and Tim Brando to actually make this a reality. The incubator's going to start in the fall, where we're going to have X amount of students here, and we're going to train them, you know. And, yeah, we're a commercial business, but the big mission statement for us is to not only train up our workforce, but to also give back. Growing up at Stony Hill, I didn't have access to a studio like this. I mean, it was a dream.
Right.
So if we can offer something and these kids can learn to do what Chris Bell does, like splicing tape, which is a lost art form. And not everything is digital. And it's funny that the sweep coming back to an analog sound is guys like Chris and myself hopefully can show these kids actually how to record things. Not just music, but, you know, voices for film or video games, whatever. It's a whole different industry. And I think we were able to teach our kids a skill set they can use anywhere they may go. But hopefully they'll stay home. That's the key.
Absolutely. And you've brought a couple of groups into the studio to help develop their careers. I know last time we spoke, We played the Lackadaisies.
Maggie Kerner.
Maggie Kerner.
She's doing good now.
She's doing well.
Moved to New Orleans.
Dirtfoot came in recently. Don't we have some music to hear from Dirtfoot?
We got some music to hear from Dirtfoot, Chris.
Will you guide me with your pretty smile? Lord knows I'd walk 10 million miles to hold you in my loving arms and give you all these good luck charms. Windy days, windy nights, when all the birds have taken to flight and all the trees have gone to sleep, you'll find me down on my bloody knees. And the sun don't come, the sun don't shine, and the moon is full, the moon is mine. Wasted days, wasted nights, waiting for you to come. La la la, la la la, la la la, la la la. Will you guide me with your
Dirtfoot? It's funny, we have a history where a few years ago, before Blaze Studios existed, they came to me looking for a place to record and an engineer and a producer to do it. I sent them to Chris Bell in Dallas, Texas. It was great. And they did the record, and it was cool. And, you know, we always kept in touch, and they'd call me for advice here and there. Because that's a whole other thing, you know, if we're able to offer some kind of wisdom. Just because we've been through all of this stuff, or, you know, mostly bad stuff that you learn from and you can pass it on to somebody who's great.
And the sun don't come, the sun don't shine, and the moon is full, the moon is mine. Wasted days, wasted nights, waiting for you to come, waiting for you.
They came to us again about recording this record now, and we've cut, I think, 14 songs or something like that. Rebirth Brass Band's coming in next week to guest on the record. Really exciting stuff. All done here at home at Blade, and I think it's their best album to date. Songwriting has increased. And they're just such a great, great group of guys with a very unique sound. And I'm hoping that things are going to work out and they can break out. Because they deserve it. They're hardworking. They're just good, 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 solid guys, and they're our homeboys. I mean, you know, can't beat that.
What do you like about their sound?
It's unique. It's an eclectic mix of gypsy punk, soul. It's got all these different influences that all fit together. And they're just unique. They don't sound like cookie cutter music. I mean, they got their own sound. You know it's Dirtfoot when you hear them. And that's kind of a hard thing to accomplish these days, you know, and the formula that's kind of driven and stuff. And they don't care about that. They're like, this is what we do, and we're going to do it. Love that. So if they're committed, I'm committed. And I'm a fan as well. So
you think putting music on the air, so to speak, digitally on the internet and things like that, fosters the development of these younger groups?
Well, I have to say that, you know, it's been all this debate, you know, of course, and different companies, cuts in the revenue share of bands for the publishing and things like that. And really the tool of playing live has turned out to be the biggest economic driver, more against record sales. But the thing is, people are always going to listen to music. So therefore, you have to always make it. And then just different ways of selling it. And I think the ball is in the artist's court these days. You can kind of control your career, whereas before you had to rely on a record label to do all these things for you.
And you had to afford to record. Right?
Yeah. And the cool thing about Blade, you know, we're flexible, because when it definitely comes to like local bands and stuff like that, we want to try to help as much as we possibly can. So a lot of times it's not necessarily a financial situation. It's like an investment on our part and the artists that live here locally. If we believe in somebody and they can't come up with whatever our usual price is and all this stuff, we'll work with them, especially if we think we can have a partnership that's going to thrive and go somewhere. So, and if you're great at what you do and you work hard and you're focused and you have a plan, a business plan, usually you're going to have some pretty decent results. I found out.
So, I would think compared to, say, a studio that doesn't have a professional musician as someone who's working with them, mm-hmm. that somewhat of a talent developer as well as somewhat of a talent scout, if they're working in the studio, you think that helps?
Well, without a doubt, because otherwise it's just they'll come in here, it's a turnkey operation, and yeah, they'll pay their money and we don't assist them. Okay, here's your time. Oh, 8 hours are up. Okay, good night. You're going to have to pay overtime. You know, we don't work like that.
Right.
And I think it's rigid and bored. I have a background working at different record labels in different capacities, so I've kind of just, you know, learned, listened, you know, and looked, and just tried to be a Chris Blackwell, or, you know, when it comes to something, or when it comes to a songwriter, to try to learn what they did, or how would you structure this? And if you do it enough, if you arrange songs enough, you know, it tends to go, you're like, okay, that's not working. And I'm not afraid to tell somebody that, because make a suggestion, and usually say yes. It's up to them whether they take it or not, but I'm trying to give them the best thing for their particular song or their production, because if I'm going to put my name on it, I have as much vested in it as they do.
Absolutely.
So I have to say something about another local person like Brian Blade, who actually came back to do some things, and that's Kenny Wayne Shepherd. And probably definitely one of the most fun records we've done in the last 8 months here. We cut like, I don't know, 21, 22 songs over a couple of weeks, and the band played live. Kenny was just killing it. Got some unbelievable guests on it, and it was made right here in Shreveport. His first record that he's done in Shreveport. And, you know, he went away to Los Angeles. He did his first record in Memphis, I believe. And, you know, so he's been traveling the world and everything else. And once again, just like Brian, kind of gravitated back toward home, because I think one reason is because we actually have a facility to be able to support, you know, what they want to do. You know, finally we got a place that, oh, you know, and, you know, we're kicking LA's butt in some capacity.
I would think, you know, folks like Brian and Kenny, who are from Shreveport, mm-hmm. probably like to come back home from time to time.
Funny enough, right now, Kenny's record's called Going Home. I don't think it's coming out till next year, because he's doing a record with Stephen Stills that's about to come out first. But I'm very proud of that record. He is, too. It was so much fun to make. We just had a blast. So, listeners, please look out for that record coming out.
We're going to play some of Kenny's stuff as well, right?
Yes, we are. I think one of the songs that made him a hit, you know, around the world, Blue and Black, is just one of those classic rock songs now that's a staple on rock radio. So.
Night falls, I'm alone. Children to their bone. You turned and you ran. Oh yeah.
your own jack, match on a fire, cold on ice, a dead man's touch, whisper on a screen, doesn't change a thing, don't bring you back.
One interesting song and group that I ran across, Shadowboxers. And the song Lovers in Rome, I believe there's a YouTube video of them actually recording the song in Blade Studios right here.
These guys, I got a call from a guy named Russell Carter, and Russell Carter's famous for like finding the Black Crowes and hooked them up on that first record deal that made them superstars, and he manages the Indigo Girls. So we have a track record because of that. So I've known him a while. It's like, you know, I got this band, could be perfect for you. And, you know, they want to come to Blade Studios because they're living in Atlanta. They just graduated or about to graduate from Emory University. They're kids, 21. Heard a couple of songs, dug it. It's cool. They came here. I was so impressed with these guys. It's probably one of the most productive records we did. The songs are well organized. So we did the record. We thought that was all good. They did a fundraiser by Kickstarter. And, you know, they were just smart about their business. Okay, finished the record, done. Everybody's happy. And about 2 months later, Vanguard Records heard the record and picked it up. So now they're probably one of the largest labels in America. And they went out on a tour, and their star's rising. And they came here to Shreveport, Louisiana, to do the record. So Lovers in Rome, the track you're going to hear is basically cut live in the studio. I mean, they're singing all their harmonies, just like, and it's just beautiful cats. So proud of this record. It's an interesting song. It starts off very mellow and very mellow. Slow, and then it really gets going in the end, but the melody sort of stays the same. You have the same feeling with more intensity. Exactly. We tried to do a very dynamic build on that particular song, and it's a diverse record. I mean, they actually kind of got a soul thing going on the rest of the record. Kenny Wayne Shepherd's guesting on one song. He happened to be here in town, and he met them, and he heard them. So it's turning into an eclectic kind of melting pot, you know, like it used to be. And just spontaneity, I think, is the right word. And, you know, and if it feels right, people will come in and play and jam. And that's the thing we want to try to keep going here.
Thank you.
As a producer, or maybe as someone sitting in, you know, I imagine a lot of these songs are written by the artists.
Yeah.
Lovers in Rome in particular, let's say that's a story.
Yeah.
As a producer, as a collaborator, how does that work for you? Do you get into the story? Do you learn much about what the artist was feeling or the songwriter was feeling at the time? Or is it sort of musically synchronous so that you sort of know the story by hearing the music without having to get too much into the feelings behind it?
Well, usually with the song, I first look at the song itself as a structure. You know, is it a well-written song? Because if it's not a well-written song, it's going to be difficult to put any kind of production on it to make it worth anything. So you look at the lyrics, you listen to the melody. And as a producer, it's part of me to make sure the arrangement is good and solid as far as trying to create the dynamic that the lyrics dictated. You know, it's a story. It's supposed to start off very simple and it got more involved, so the music should grow, almost like a film. And we just try to accomplish that on everything that we do. We attack it and we look at it and try to give the song the best that it's supposed to have. I prefer minimalism, you know, at best, but some songs get more involved. Some productions need to have a lot of multi-plots that help make it strong. But mostly, if you can kind of sit on a stool and play your acoustic guitar or piano and just sing it, the song will dictate what it needs. Sometimes nothing at all. Sometimes,
Sounds a little bit maybe like a director and an actor relationship.
Without a doubt. I am the director, the man behind the glass, just trying to get the performance out of the artist. So yeah, that's my job.
Walk you to the counter.
What you got to offer?
Pick you out a soda.
Look at you forever.
Walk you to the water.
Rise like a casino.
It ain't bone typical.
You know, the next group I think we could talk about is a group called The Kills.
Yeah.
What do you like about The Kills?
Alison Mosshart. Definitely. That girl is good.
You are fever. You are fever. You ain't born typical. You are fever. You are fever. You ain't born typical.
This woman is just the nicest, most genuine person ever. And then on stage, she's just this incredible performer. So I had, like, you know, I think I got that one song they put out called Satellite, which I really love. It just got this intensity. They're rock and roll, they're sexy. It's just cutting edge.
We are fever, we are fever, we ain't born typical. We are fever, we are fever, we ain't born typical.
She and her partner really kind of formed a really good relationship that's grown over these years, and The Kills is one of my favorite bands, you know, sonically, and then just, you know, how Alison is a person. She walks the walk, for real. She's rock and roll as it gets. I mean,
they're based in England, right?
Yeah, they're based in London, so she lives in London and in Nashville, and but she spent most of her time in England, and I mean, she was here in Shreveport. You know, February, she's here in April. I guess she's coming back maybe in a couple of months. She really likes it here. And that's a testament to the local Shreveporters. So one of the coolest, hippest chicks in the world thinks Shreveport is like one of the best places ever. And I think, you know, the people have seen her around town with hanging out with my crew and stuff. And she enjoys herself here, as I do. So I'm hoping she will instill some confidence in some of the locals about their city.
Just around the corner.
Speaking of a lot of talent, Jacob Dylan, back with the Wallflowers now.
Mm-hmm.
I understand he was in Shreveport as well.
He was in Shreveport, and we've been collaborating as just this, you know, he's in a band, and he's got stuff going on, and I'm a studio owner, I've got stuff going on. But at the end of the day, ultimately, you know, we're just musicians. So luckily, for the sake of just playing some music, he's been hanging out with me a little bit in Shreveport, just working on stuff with no agenda, no whatever. It's just the idea of writing songs and recording. And that's kind of what you want. And someone as accomplished as Jacob, as a lyricist, and he inherited a lot from his dad, you know, Bob Dylan. And we're having a good time, and our friendship has grown, especially over the last few months and this little journey we may take, you know. But the music is kind of dictating everything. And yeah, he's digging Shreveport too. We have a good time here. Tear up the town.
So the songs that we're going to hear from the Wallflowers, how would you describe those in terms of your appreciation of their types of music?
Well, I just love, the production is great, but the songwriting is unbelievable. And it won't be long. It's just one of those tunes that just got that thing. I don't know how to explain it. I just one of my favorites, which is why it's on the list. And Love of the Country is, you know, the imagery that Jacob paints as a lyricist, I like. So it's just, he's got such a cool, soothing voice, you know.
Change the momentum just a little bit.
Okay.
A band that you recommended that we hear from Ramstein. And I would venture to say that most folks in Shreveport who listen to music may not recognize that name. I could be wrong.
They sing in German.
What's intriguing about Rammstein to you?
I got to meet Rammstein. We kind of live in Stockholm, Sweden as well. And my neighbor is a guy named Jacob Heller. So he's produced Rammstein since their first record. So quite a few years ago, they came to visit him in Stockholm. Well, actually, were working on a record. And I went by Jacob's studio, and you know, they were all there and stuff. And Teal, the lead singer, was a great guy, you know, and the music was cool. I didn't really get Rammstein until Jacob was like, let's go to Berlin for the opener of the show. I'm like, okay, fine. So we caught a flight over to Berlin and stuff and saw the show, and my mind was blown. It was probably one of the best rock shows, if not the best, I've ever seen in my life. The performance they put on was just crazy. So I'm looking at my very mild-mannered Swedish, you know, neighbor who produces these madmen. I was just so impressed. And I went out and I just started buying all their records and just started really liking them, even though my knowledge of the German language is null. Their music really sparked something in me. It sparked the fight. It sparked this thing, everything. So they were an inspiration to me. So I put them on the list because I've been listening to a lot of them a bit lately and just kind of like their legacy and their history of how they keep trying to push the envelope of rock and also performance. They try to keep going further and further and further as a band. Something important about that these days, because bands tend to throw in a towel after it gets a little tough, and it always gets tough, but these guys, they stuck it out.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that. How would you compare to them to, say, a heavy metal band from America?
Well,
in terms of cohesiveness and mission,
it seems like you know they had a lot of success and they made some good money and all this other stuff, but the common mission of the band was to stay the common mission. It was very one like a military operation, whereas some bands in the States, you know, a little money and fame kind of gets their head in a different spot, and they all of a sudden have different agendas instead of one common agenda. That's important. You know, band may fight, band may not, but the same thing, we all move forward and we advance together, not separately or, you know. And I've seen it happen too many times. It's very sad when you see a great band break up, and you know, when you know that chemistry is there, but unfortunately the band didn't think that was important enough to stay together. So when you do find a band that has that common goal and it's exemplified in the music, and it comes out and you have a producer that can help, you know, keep realizing that dream and keep pushing the envelope, oh, it's the best. So I recommend, you know, check out a Rammstein show. You can catch them on tour. Unbelievable. Blow your mind out. I mean, really, it's just unbelievable. Teal, this goes out to you. Guten Tag.
Air, I know you've talked about this band before. It's a favorite of yours.
Yeah.
Why do you like this band?
Because I think of all the music that I listen to, which is a lot of it, I mean, constantly, I still play this Moon Safari album where the song La Femme d'Argent is on. It's it just makes you feel good. You put it on in the morning over breakfast, just keeps you chill. Put it on it over a dinner party, it's great. Put it on in the car if you're stressed out, driving, chills you out. It's just like one of those, it's like a small therapist, that kind of thing.
So if you've been listening maybe to a little too much Rammstein for a while.
Exactly. You need to chill out. You're grinding your teeth and driving 120 miles an hour. You need to slow it down, put on some air, cool out. And, you know, if I'm riding with my girl, you know, like we were somewhere, because I take a playlist with me everywhere, either my phone, if I can plug in somewhere, but I always take backup CDs in case I rent an old car or something. And then, you know, you pop that on when you're cruising on the coast. Oh, man, can't beat it. So as a duo, once again, these guys have stayed together for a long time. They keep pushing the envelope and stretching new boundaries, new sounds. They're based in France. And I just love their production. I love their musicality. And also the, you know, their togetherness. You know, it's like, oh, together, the both of them, they make beautiful music. One of my favorite bands.
Anything in particular about this song that comes to mind?
Well, it's instrumental, and it just reminds me of good, cool times. And I think it's been out since like 1999, right when I met my girl. So, you know, the longest I've been with her is when this song came out. So it's kind of got probably something to do with it. So, yes, I have ulterior motives on it. But at the same time, you know, I put it on, it just makes me feel good. I'll probably put it on tonight, you know, when I get home. You know, with the kids, feeding the kids. My kids hum the melody. You know, yeah.
Massive Attack.
Yeah.
It's another band that you mentioned.
I just got I saw a Facebook post, and I was playing this thing called the Phoenix Festival in England years ago in the 90s, and with Guru, I think, from Gangstar. And Massive Attack was on the bill with a full orchestra. That was one of those shows that was extraordinary. I mean, it was just amazing. And they don't tour that much. I mean, they're mostly kind of a studio band, but when they play live, they play live. It's a production. And I was so impressed. And once again, I mean, this song, and I think it's on a house or something, Teardrop, you know, but because it's just one of those cool kind of tunes. But I love a lot of their music, all the way back to Blue Lines. And that's another band that keeps, they don't stay in the same kind of thing. They kind of push the envelope. They kind of push it out. But they really, I think, are extraordinary songwriters, and they convey a mood. You don't get tired of it. So, La Femme des Gens and Teardrop, those are two songs I can listen to until I'm 80 years old, because they just never get old to me.
Something you mentioned about playing mostly in the studio and not touring much.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that to be an issue at all with musicians if you sort of get into a situation where you're doing mostly studio music? How does that affect the creative process and the ability to grow?
Well, you know, some guys have a discipline, like a lot of Nashville musicians I know in particular, you know, they like staying home doing sessions. They don't like the road, like the tour. I'm a bit crazy, so I like both, but because I don't tour as much anymore because I have young kids. And I do miss it at times, but that would be kind of irresponsible of me to leave them all the time. So it's kind of selfish kind of thing. I like the combination of both personally. But as I said, some guys are such technicians and they get this thing in the studio. They can recreate that environment and keep them. It's almost like they're live. But I think it's less stimulating to stay in the studio all the time because you have to get out and have some human interaction and feed off a crowd. So, I mean, I'll go sitting with bands all the time, you know, just to blow out. It's my therapy, you know, go to the little crappy hole in the wall or wherever, just to play drums with some people with a guitar. Oh, man, this is great. I love that. And I think it keeps the spark alive. So if you have that and you bring that energy back into a studio environment, you know, you stay fresh and keep a good perspective. That works for me anyway. So we've had Daniel Lenoir in here lately, too. I was working with my father on some stuff, and we were privileged to have him mix some things here in our studio. But he's unbelievable in the studio, but I think he gets a lot of that because of his own live thing. You know, so he's able to take that and transfer that to him, the stuff he does in the studio or stuff with Neil Young or U2. It keeps that approach and, you know, keeps it in perspective.
Yeah, speaking of feeding off the crowd, I heard the Dave Matthews Band at Jazz Fest, and I think he was wetter than most of the people that were
drenched,
standing in the rain.
Yeah.
And so you picked a tune from the Dave Matthews Band off of the recent CD.
Mm-hmm.
With fire to keep us warm, and our tools been made from rocks and bones, a roof over your head, and walls to keep you safe in bed. There must be more than this. So God was born and we in His image of fear and love look down upon from up above. We gotta do much more than believe if we really wanna change things. We gotta do much more than believe if we wanna see the world change.
What made you select this band and this song?
Dave is a good friend. We did the Some Devil record with him, and not to be the roost or whatever. But he, you know, that record won his first Grammy, and creatively and critically, it did well for him, I guess. So he was a bit nervous about, you know, debuting a solo record, but for it to work out that way and a tour to be sold out as a result of it was a success story. So, you know, we came close to friends and stuff, and we kept in touch. So when they're working on Gaucho in New Orleans after Leroy, the saxophonist, died, which is a very tough part for the band, you know, they were trying to really capture his spirit on this record, and I think they did a great job. And the new horn players you saw on Sunday, you know, Jeff Coffin and Trumpet Cat, I mean, those cats are, they're really great players, and I think they're really fessing up to what Leroy was about. And that band has grown, developed. I mean, they're just a powerhouse. And yes, it was raining like crazy, and they still put on a 3-hour show that was unbelievable, unrelented in it.
You know what's funny is he's usually drenched, whether it's raining
you got
or
point.
Not. I think that's how much in it he usually is.
Oh, man, he puts out energy, and the band just was just in it. And And that's a testament to what kind of person he is. You know, it's like, you know, if he's going to do it, let's do it. He's like that. And when it comes to music, when it comes to performance, every kind of way, and the most nicest man ever, and unbelievable musician. And you know, he's originally from South Africa and raised in America, but that South African sentiment does come through his music, and especially on Gaucho, like his guitar playing on it. It's got this thing to it, and you don't know what that thing is, and I think that's that South African influence, personally.
Yeah, speaking of that, you know, he has a fair amount of religious and social themes that come mm-hmm. through mm-hmm. his songwriting, and obviously he's a great love songwriter. It's interesting to note that. Do you think one's upbringing has an influence on songwriting? And
I think he writes from a personal point of view, and I remember a filmmaker telling me a long time ago, we were working on treatments and stuff, and it's like, you should always write about what you know, and try to write about other things that you think you may know, and you really don't get good results, but things that are in your everyday life that you can extrapolate on and elaborate about it intelligently will have better results. So Dave writes from a very personal point of view.
I understand there were like some school kids at the end of that song that he incorporated.
Yeah, that was
a little backup choir.
He's got two daughters, twin daughters, Stella and Grace, and so he invited the whole class to the studio and stuff, and it was absolute chaos. And I think the results of it, as you can hear. But he's just a great dad, great person, great friend, and I'm glad to know him.
Snow Racer.
Ooh.
Band from Sweden, I understand.
Yes. Snow Racer is Amir Shamdin Dragan from the Backyard Babies. This guy named Martin Lindquist, who's like a kind of electronic guy.
Working 9 to 5, trying to find a
work on a lot of videos, commercials, films together. He's a great director of images, but he's also in a band called Infinite Mass, hip-hop band. Four of us got together just to hang out, just to make music. No agenda. Everybody's in different musical entities, and we just had fun hanging out with each other. Ended up writing about 20 songs. Well, a guy, funny and ironically, this guy named Mickey Sundin, who died in Stockholm. He fell and hit his head and died, literally. So the guy who actually said, you guys should really do an album and form a little small record label, we're like, I don't want to do that. But then he convinced us to do it. Well, I'm glad he did, because the record Snow Racer ended up, out of the 10 songs, I think 7 songs got synced to 3 really big major commercials, like Eon, and 3 like the Scandinavian European companies. And then I think 4 songs got put out the soundtracks. So financially, it did great. And we've only played 3 shows live, 1 TV and then 2 live gigs in Stockholm. And for a small period of time, and effort and stuff, and for the band that have that kind of success was kind of funny. And I think the song here is one of my tunes I'm singing called Shake Out Automat, which actually means absolutely nothing. but have a good time and enjoy life before, you know, it's too late. And we intentionally did not edit lyrics on the record, so whatever came up to mind as we were on the microphone, that's pretty much what's on the takes.
So with Shake Out Automat, we'll get to hear Mr. Brady Blade Jr.'s voice.
I'm singing on Shake Out Automat, yes.
Okay, folks, here it is, Mr. Brady Blade Jr. on Shake Out Automat. Let's talk about a song that you want to play from Brian's latest CD.
I do want to play a selection called Ruby Lou's Lullaby, which is when my oldest daughter was born. Brian composed a piece of music that was actually kind of, I think he performed it with a symphony somewhere. You know, they actually transcribed it for a whole 70-piece orchestra. So he just wrote this tune for his first niece. And it actually got some notoriety around the world, I guess, as a really good jazz composition.
I have a feeling that Grandma and Grandpa will be listening to that one as well.
They like the particular song. on the new record, rather, a song called Bonnie Be Good that's about my second daughter. And that's the actual title. So, but he has a lot of themes that are local, like, you know, architects. And this new record is called Landscapes. But it's really about the landscape of where he was from. I mean, we grew up in Stoner Hill. And so all these songs that he composed on the record actually have a very local theme. And for him to be able to perform all around the world, he's, you know, playing these tunes. And this little local Shreveport guy is like a jazz icon in a sense. He doesn't act that way. He acts like this shy, very humble, highly intelligent man, but he's well-regarded in the industry of jazz. And once again, as I said earlier, to him to do this new record here at home in the family studio, it brought tears to my eyes. I was just sitting here one night, and I was just listening to some stuff, and I was just like, I just started crying. I was like, this is unbelievable. You know, that you know, we can do this. And I just bought a house here. The plot thickens.
Absolutely. Well, Mr. Brady Blade, yes. Thank you once again. We really appreciate you giving your time to Red River Radio.
Thank you, Dr. Bruin. We love Red River Radio. It's a gem for our city and our region.
You've been listening to a profile of Brady Blade, hosted by Randy Brewer and produced in the studios of Red River Radio. The interview session was recorded at Blade Studios in Shreveport, Louisiana, and was engineered by Chris Bell. We want to thank Brady Blade and everyone at Blade Studios for their invaluable assistance. The post-production editor and mix engineer for this program was Bill Beckett, and this has been a production of Red River Radio, a community-supported public broadcasting service of LSUS.